Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gabaza, and for today, we are looking at the pressures that are facing consumers at the moment, what's actually going on in terms of consumer economics, what are the things that are happening. We've been taking, you know, quite a keen focus on consumers in the last couple of weeks because we've been hearing a lot about the strain that businesses have faced, various industries. I think the tourism industry, for example, you know, very glad about the lifting of some of the restrictions of, you know, the COVID-19 lockdown, as on Sunday, the president said that the country would be moving from the adjusted level 4 lockdown down to a level 3, which means that, you know, certain things are opening up, such as interprovincial travel, as well as gathering some events, and, you know, tourism really happy about what's going on, the alcohol industry. But in all of this, we want to understand what's actually going on with consumers, how they are feeling, because the two sides of that particular equation. Yes, the businesses are glad that things are opening up, but you need to have people that are actually willing and able to actually patronize those businesses. So for today, we are joined by Johan van Tonder, who is an economist and researcher from Momentum, and is going to be sharing some insights from the recent Momentum UNISA Consumer Financial Vulnerability Index for the second quarter of 2021, just to share some of those insights with us. So, Johan, greetings to you today.
Good day, and thanks for the opportunity.
I think a good place for us to start, usually we want to know about the organization, but in this particular case, there are two organizations, that's Momentum and UNISA, but, you know, the main piece of data that we're drawing from is this Consumer Financial Vulnerability Index. So maybe if we could get some insight into firstly, you know, what is this Consumer Financial Vulnerability Index? Because there are a lot of indicators that people tend to, you know, pay attention to CPI and, you know, some of these other numbers that come out, such as the Purchasing Managers Index, right? So when we look at your particular index, what is it that you guys are trying to gauge exactly?
Yes, this index has been running since the second quarter of 2009, so it's in its 12th year, and we bring it out every quarter. And the reason for that is we wanted one specific indicator that's looking at all the aspects of a household's finances. In other words, a household's income, their expenditure, as well as their savings and their debt servicing, because there's no such indicator available in the country that's looking at all the components of a household's finances. And then as we look at the finances of households, we want to find out whether the financial situation is improving or whether it's deteriorating. So in short, that's basically what we do. And the way we calculate it, we calculate four sub-indices. In other words, an income sub-index, expenditure one, a savings one, as well as a debt servicing one. And all four of them then culminate into the one large consumer financial vulnerability index.
So when it comes to actually putting the data together, this is always, you know, the economist part of me, you know, really gets excited, you know, the nerdy part of me. How do you guys actually go about, you know, gathering the data that you guys are putting together when it comes to the index?
Yes, what we do is we don't go to the consumers directly. We go to institutions servicing the consumers. For example, we go to retailers, insurers, banks, municipalities, all kinds of consumer-faced institutions, and then also some researchers that's constantly researching the consumers' finances. And what we do is we ask them 12 questions. There's four indices, sub-indices. So it's three questions on income, expenditure, savings, as well as debt servicing. And how they from their interaction with consumers' experience, what consumers are doing, and whether they see changes in patterns and so forth. So we do that every quarter. And then once a year, we go to the consumers themselves, and we ask the same questions, 12 questions to the consumers. And we also go in the same quarter to all these consumer-facing institutions, ask the same questions. And then we see whether the consumer's view align with that with the institutions that we are asking. And so far, it aligns like every single time, which tells us that the views of the institutions that we survey actually align very well, and it's very representative of what the consumers themselves feel and think about their finances.
So against that backdrop, now that we understand, you know, what it is that you guys are actually measuring and how you go about actually getting the data, what's actually happening on the ground? You know, you guys said that you do this every quarter. So what is the data for the second quarter telling us, I guess, versus previous quarters? I can imagine, you know, if we talk second quarter, we're what? That's like April, May, June, you know, fourth wave, you know, that type of thing. What was happening during that quarter?
Yes, the second quarter wasn't a good quarter for consumers, because the main index, the Consumer Financial Vulnerability Index, declined from 49.7 points to 45.9 points. It's actually a huge drop, almost 4 points. So a decline in the index means that consumers feel more financially vulnerable. And if we look at why, then we have to look at the four sub-indices. We start with income. Because the income index actually declined from above 50 points to 47.4. And the expenditure index then also declined from above 50 points, in fact, 52.3 points to 48.4. Savings index declined most by 6.1 points to 42.7. It's almost at the bottom of the 40-point range. And then also the debt servicing, which was already below 50 points in the first quarter at 47.5 to 44.9 points. So what this tells us is that consumers are financially more vulnerable in every respect of their finances. So basically, it's been a very, very tough quarter for consumers in terms of income, expenditure, savings, as well as their debt servicing.
That's actually quite, I don't know how else to say it, but that's actually quite a dire, you know, state of affairs, because it sounds like across the board, everything, you know, is just down in terms of the pressures that consumers are feeling at the moment. And when it comes to all the factors being down, from what you were seeing, what are some of the drivers? You know, because I'm thinking about things like, you know, debt servicing, etc. Like, what are the factors that are driving this? Is it the fact that people have lost jobs? Is it reduced income? Is it, you know, like, well, what's actually happening?
Yeah, the thing is, when we look at South Africa, South Africa's a country of inequalities. And I must explain quickly what I want to say here. We've got a very small portion of our consumers that's actually driving the economy. Let me give you an example. About 10% of consumers earn 90% of the income in the country. And 10% of the consumers save about 90% of the savings. 10% of consumers are responsible for 90% of all the debts. So it's a very small portion that's actually driving the economy. But what the Consumer Financial Vulnerability Index shows is not the views of the 10%. It's the views of all the consumers. Because if we only measured the 10%, everything would have looked great. But we're more interested in the view of 100% of the consumers than the 10% that's driving the economy. So, with that in the back of our minds, what happened in the second quarter is the 350 Rand a month social relief or grant stopped at the end of the first quarter. So that impacted the income of consumers. Secondly, there wasn't really job creation. In fact, unemployment increased in the second quarter. So both of those started on the income side, and that had a domino effect right through. If you don't have income, you can't spend, you can't save, you can't really service your debts. But interestingly, if we look at the other three components following from the income sub-index, which declined to 47.4 points, is that the savings sub-index declined most. What that tells us is that consumers already cut down on expenditure, and now they had to cut down on savings because they don't really have a lot more expenses they can cut. They've budgeted, they've planned, they've done everything. But with the savings index declining most, it means actually that it's there that they're trying to save more to make a living by saving less. And the same with debt servicing. They've reached a point where they actually can't service all their debts. It's where they start to choose now, what am I going to pay and what am I not going to pay this month? So on the one hand, it's the income side, but then also what we had was the price increases. We know inflation peaked at 5.2% in May, in the middle of the second quarter. So they also had to contend with the rising prices, which made everything more difficult. And then in addition, there was the lockdown level 4, which made movement even more difficult, especially into Gauteng and outside of Gauteng. So everything sort of culminated in making it very difficult for consumers to actually earn an income, and then their expenditures. They can't afford everything anymore because of the higher inflation, especially your fuel prices that went up. And then it's just difficult to get jobs if you have a level 4 lockdown, and lots of them can't go to work because restaurants closed and so forth. So that's basically that were the main drivers and the consequences of the second quarter vulnerability index.
You know, there's a lot of factors. There's a lot of things that would have needed to be unpacked. So thank you so much for unpacking the different factors and how all of the little things along the way are all building up to this bigger picture of consumers being as vulnerable as it is. I think what stuck out to me is, you know, what you said right at the beginning, where you said that, 10% of the consumer population is probably accounting for about 90% of, you know, the total spending, which is quite, I guess if ever there was a way of encapsulating the type of inequality that's in South Africa, then I think that's definitely a very big indicator of that. So, you know, when you And also the other one was just the 350 Rand grant and just how important that particular intervention has been, you know, since the beginning of lockdown. So now that we find ourselves with reduced restrictions, because I think, you know, level four really hampered a lot of things since the beginning of about June. And then now moving forward, to a situation where there are, you know, less things on the ground in terms of what's actually going on the restrictions front, but at the same time there has been a reintroduction of that grant. So do you think something like that is going to see an uplift, or is that something, or is that benefit likely going to be something that we see in the fourth quarter? Because, you know, one does understand that it takes some time for some of these factors to actually make their way through the circular economy.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I should maybe say what we do is when we measure every quarter, we try to do it at the end of the quarter so that we can encapsulate like everything that's happened in a quarter. So we try not to measure it in the middle of a quarter, because then you sort of miss what happens in the last part of the quarter. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because what we had in the beginning of the third quarter is the riots. We also had the looting and destruction of businesses and so forth. So that happened during the first part of the third quarter. Now, in the last part of the third quarter, what we're going to have is the reintroduction of this 350 Rand grant. So these two things will work against each other when we measure the third quarter numbers. Because during the first part of the third quarter, we will still have the level four lockdown, which is negative. We will have the riots, which is also negative. But then we will have, in the second part of the third quarter, the more positive relief packages for businesses as well as for some of the consumers, which will then be positive. So I suspect what we will see in the third quarter is some pockets of negativity still, where consumers are still in dire straits, but other pockets of positivity now and more optimism. So it might be better then to look at the third quarter and see what we should expect or can expect in the fourth quarter. So the fourth quarter will then give us a much better indication. In other words, we're looking at the trend there between what's happening in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Because hopefully in the fourth quarter, we won't have level four or level three lockdowns, which will make it easier to get a job and also to travel and be economically more free and so forth. So that should assist a lot. But yeah, we're going to have to wait to see which one of those events weighed strongest on consumer finances in the third quarter.
You know, now that, you know, Johan, one of the things I'm very curious about is that, you know, recently we had you know, some of your compatriots from the Bureau of Economic Research on this platform, and they were talking about the index just around consumer confidence, all right? And I'm very then curious to understand from your own research what part attitudes take or what place they have in terms of you know, some of the outlooks that you guys might have, or the things that you measure, you know, the attitudes of consumers. Is there any data from your point of view? Because there's always the financial aspect that we always see and hear, which is very clear, because you either have money in your pocket or you don't. But the actual impact on attitudes, what are you seeing on the ground?
Yeah, it's very interesting. From an attitudinal point of view, We started last year in the beginning, say, when lockdown started in March. And then we asked a question specifically. And what we found was that initially, consumers were more scared of the virus than about an income. But as we progressed, what happened was that the consumers ran into such financial difficulty that they became more worried about their finances than about their health. And that's been continuing since. So what it tells us is it's even more difficult financially for consumers if they start worrying more about the income than about their health. And that also has a stress-related factor. And the moment you're under stress, lots of duress, what happens is your financial decision-making is not what it should be. You become very much short-termist in your decision-making. You're making a decision just to solve for the here and now. For example, if you don't have money for food, you know you shouldn't go and borrow money, but you don't have a choice. And then you go to the most expensive, you take up the most expensive loans just to have something. And you don't worry about the long-term implications. The other thing, so that's very real currently. This mentally, this thing as this the virus and the lockdown and the economy in general has taken a psychological toll on consumers that we can't imagine. We're underestimating the psychological impacts on consumers. And also what happened was that because lots of people are working from home, so there have been more purchases, online purchases. We will have to wait and see whether this is a trend that's going to continue, because what we've seen, for example, in other countries is that now that their economies are opening up more, especially those economies where vaccinations are close to 70-80% of the populations, that trend is reversing. The online purchasing trend is reversing. So we will have to wait and see whether that trend will also reverse or whether it will continue once we reach those levels of vaccination. So there's quite a number of other attitudinal issues that we've also picked up from the patterns of consumer purchases, where they into a lot of furniture purchasing because they're working from home. They can't go out. So then for those who can afford it, they try and make it more comfortable for them at home. So we've seen a switch there. And also recently, what we've seen is also back to purchasing of some clothing, but that might have something to do with weather changes moving into winter time from summertime. So it's quite a number of things. And also it depends on your whether you are earning an income and whether you're not earning an income or whether you're in the low income group or the high income group. So this the changing in patterns actually is occurring more in the higher and middle and higher income groups than the lower income groups.
Johan, given all the factors that you've just explained, including the psychological and attitudinal factors that are affecting consumers. Because the one thing that is clear is that at the moment the deck is stacked against consumers, just given all the different things that they have to deal with at the moment. So I want to zone in before we end off the discussion on the issue of savings, because earlier on you sort of touched on it, but more from a debt servicing point of view, because people usually borrow money where they don't have money, but for the few that do have money, what has actually happened? Because we often talk about South Africa being a country of spenders and not savers, and yet we know that in a macroeconomic sense, savings is very important, especially for the financial services sector, for example's ability to actually extend lending and credit to other to other parts of the economy. So what has everything your research, what is it saying about the level at which savings are at for consumers?
Yeah, I think we should get back to what we talked about in the beginning. There's only about 4 to 5 million consumers who earn enough money to save. So all the macroeconomic savings numbers, when we see it, it's actually the 4 to 5 million people savings. And if you analyze the 4 to 5 million people saving patterns, you find that they actually don't save badly at all. This is one of the big misperceptions in this country about savings of consumers. We constantly hear that consumers don't save. But we have to differentiate between those who can afford to save and those who are simply don't earn enough money to save. They want to save, but they don't earn enough. So if we look at savings from that point of view, what it tells us is that South Africans who can afford to save are doing well. They're saving well. They're saving about 13% of their gross income every month. But if you look at the numbers for this quarter, where savings declined a lot, the savings index, it tells you that 4 to 5 million people who can afford to save, actually, they're feeling the pinch now as well. So from that point of view, it's actually very dire if the 4 to 5 million who can save actually had to dig into their savings in order to make a living, or they had to stop like some of their contributions to some pension funds or so on. So that's basically what the whole index tells us, and if you understand the savings picture well in this country.
Yeah, no, it sort of feels as if we keep having that same discussion and conversation about the rate of inequality in South Africa, and all of these different factors that you're highlighting keep showing us how all of that actually manifests in a financial sense. So as we end off, Johan, just are there any recommendations that you guys might have, because you've been able to gather all of these insights? Is there any advice to consumers just in terms of how they can cope?
Yeah, it's very difficult because it's difficult for, every consumer, every household's got its and her own unique circumstances. So the thing is, and what the key informants from all the different institutions that we asked, and the recommendation is basically, the top recommendation basically is, we need to align all our economic policies towards job creation. It's only once we've aligned everything towards job creation and we start reducing unemployment and people can start earning an income, it's only then that the vulnerability index will start improving. There's also other recommendations such as planning a little bit more, budgeting a little bit more, and pulling the belts a little bit tighter. But I think we've reached a point now where it's very difficult to pull everything tighter because we've seen the dip into savings now, just to make a living and to survive. So the main recommendation was just look at the policies and align everything towards job creation.
So that's been us. We were talking to Johan van Tonder, who is an economist and researcher from Momentum, giving us insight into their latest edition of the Momentum UNISA Consumer Financial Vulnerability Index, which seeks to look at the health of consumers, what's actually going on in that sector. And for the second quarter of 2021, he's saying that across the board, all of the different metrics that they take into account and measure are on the low, especially things such as debt servicing, things like income, things such as savings, all of these different factors coming to actually hurt consumers who have been impacted first by COVID-19 and then most recently by what we've been seeing in terms of lockdowns, but recently some of the unrest that came in KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng. And he's actually saying that, which is quite interesting to say, when we then look forward, right now we are in the third quarter of the year, but when we do go forward and when they do measure some of the factors that come into play is the fact that the beginning of the third quarter had an element of level four of the lockdown, but at the same time we saw the unrest in KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng. But on the other side of that equation, we are going to be seeing the impact of the 350 Rand grant being reinstated and what that's going to do. So the real measurement is going to be about what the net impact or effect of those different factors is going to be. But also just ending off the discussion, talking about the fact that the key recommendation at the moment is that all policies just need to be geared towards job creation, because that's what's going to be able to lift household income, so that all of the different factors that are being measured, savings, debt servicing, incomes, and even expenditures, are able to rise up. So that's been it, Johan. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a big pleasure. Thank you.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Consumers are really in trouble. I think that is the message that we're receiving. I'm reflecting on today's, the discussion with today's guest, but I'm also reflecting from our discussion with the Bureau of Economic Research and what they're seeing on the Consumer Confidence Index, side of things, and putting all of these data points together, because, that's what you usually need to do. You heard from Johan the fact that they go out and actually source data from different points, to put together this view of how, of the consumer vulnerability index that they have, right? And in the same sense, taking all of these different indexes together gives you a fuller picture of what's going on, and consumers really are in trouble. I think intuitively we do know that consumers are in trouble. You sort of just see what's going on, going around different parts of, cities and towns in South Africa, looking at businesses that are closed down, businesses that temporarily closed down due to the different levels of the lockdown. Restaurants, for example, I'm currently sitting in Johannesburg, and there's a number of restaurants that had closed just because of level four, not because they can't operate, but they don't see it as being worth it to operate when so many restrictions are there. Hopefully now that we are back in level three, curfews have been extended, alcohol is back on sale, you know, some of those businesses do open up. But all of that feeds into the cycle where the businesses open up, but they need patrons to come in and pay and extend their business so that they can hire more people, their people get paid, and then those same people go out and buy more goods and services from other businesses, and you have that. So what Johan says about gearing everything towards job creation is probably the best way forward when you really do think about it, right? You have the sense that at the moment people really are in trouble. You see unemployment sitting at 31-32% on the official front, but you know, closer towards 42-43% on the unofficial front. And one of the things I like the best about the way Johan described the situation in South Africa is just how small the base that is responsible for, you know, a lot of spending in South Africa actually is. You know, the 4 to 5 million people that are actually spending in the economy are probably accounting for about 90% of consumer spending. The 4 to 5 million that actually can afford to save, we need to be able to grow that base for, you know, the country to be able to move forward. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.